Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we are super happy to have you here, and we just ask that you bring an open mind and heart to your listening experience and to be prepared to explore vantage points that I'm convinced will help shift or solidify your current understanding of the ultimate nature of reality. While listening, you'll be exposed to inspiring, empowering, and unifying perspectives that I'm highly confident will yield stellar results in your life if you opt to try them on for size. Also, at optimistic.tv, we have officially begun releasing the first few episodes of our new late-night style, consciousness-elevating video variety talk show, Optimistic, which features live visionary art, soul share interviews, retreat guests here at the Mystic Manor, as well as live musical performances. I'm also super excited to announce that we are currently making plans to release the rest of season one on my personal favorite online streaming service. So stay tuned to optimistic.tv to follow the unfolding development of this exciting Optimistic expansion, as we'll be posting more info and release dates there soon. And in the meantime, be sure to check out, of course, the first few episodes at optimistic.tv as well. Hello, hello, positive heads. Welcome, welcome. It is a interesting, challenging Monday here in the studio as I record. A little less cheery sounding than normal. Things are pretty heavy out there. It's June 1st, 2020. All of this upheaval after months of the coronavirus now happening. The rioting that's happening, the outrage that's being expressed in so many ways, from social media to, you know, protest to peaceful protest to people looting, to every way possible, you know, sparked by the murder of George Floyd. And I'm going to talk a little bit about it today. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's always interesting when you come up with something like this, especially as a white male, in what, you know, looking at what this whole thing circles around is white males having repressed and instilled racism into our society. And I just want to start off by saying, you know, I can conceptualize, but I can never really truly know what someone listening out there who is a minority, particularly African-American minority, what you've experienced. I can conceptualize, I can hear about it, I can imagine what it would be like, but I haven't experienced it. And I'm not going to pretend to, nor would I claim I have insight that you do. What I can do is from my vantage point as a white male, from my vantage point as someone who sees things, tends to, you know, always reach to see what's the bigger story, what's the bigger narrative, why is this happening for me, not to me, why is this happening for us, not to us. And that's what I'm going to attempt to do today. And I'm sure there will be people out there who will find offense with something that I say. This is a very, very heated topic. I know when we've touched on this topic in the past, it's one of the only times we've had, you know, people reach in the Positive Heads Facebook group, you know, speak up and say that they were offended. And I would ask everyone listening to, if we're easily offended, we are easily controlled, right? If we're easily angered, we're easily controlled. And just understanding that everything, I am perfectly imperfect, just like each and every one of us listening, each and every one of you listening is. And, to really, with everyone that you're dealing with, really try and hear their perspectives and not to judge or let anger take over. That being said, I'm not saying anger isn't warranted and it is always bad. It is something, anger is something that a lot of times we're taught needs to be repressed. And if anger does come up from something that I'm saying or I say or for any reason, by all means, feel it to the fullest. And what I would offer is to the more you can you know, expand your perspective, the less chances of anger coming up. But certainly with something like all of the senseless killing that's happened, that, you know, is boiling over now of, you know, African-American men like George Floyd, who seemed like such, like the little bit, I haven't done a lot of research, but I saw this video that just broke my heart of him just saying something really positive and sweet, and he did not seem, you know, I haven't heard the whole story of, you know, how it led to this cop doing what he did, you know, but from what I saw this video of George Floyd, he seemed like a motivating, like, sweet guy. Anyway, I digress. I just wanted to start this whole thing out by saying I can conceptualize, but I can never truly know what any of you have experienced. And just know that I am doing my very best to empathize and to hear you and feel, you know, I feel for you. I support each and every one of you. And I will, of course, always take the side of love over any sort of hate or, you know, perspective or aggression. Some people are expressing through aggression and anger out there. And like I said, I don't believe there's really a right or wrong. It's really comes down to, consequences of our actions, right? I don't believe right and wrong even exists. There are just consequences. There's feedback. There are results that we always grow from, by the way. So anyone out there who is getting, you know, really, really, you know, letting anger get the best of them, if you will, and you know, breaking in and stealing things or lashing out, you know, this is something that there's going to be growth from. And, you know, the question always is what kind of consequences do we want to experience? And, you know, before I kind of go further down that rabbit hole, I actually wanted to read from a couple things that past guests have posted that I really appreciated and thought I would just share as well. There's so much to touch on here. It's like, which direction to go? So I'm going to start with, this is from Halcyon, who was on episode 613. He posted this. He didn't say it. It looks like a guy named Scott Woods said it, but I thought it was really insightful to help, you know, really to help white people to see the different layers of what we've all been born into, and not just white people, everyone, but it's just really good at, painting the picture of racism. And I'll just go ahead and read it. The problem is that white people see racism as conscious hate, when racism is bigger than that. Racism is a complex system of social and political levers and pulleys set up generations ago to continue working on the behalf of whites at other people's expense, whether whites know or like it or not. Racism is an insidious cultural disease. It is so insidious that it doesn't care if you're a white person who likes black people. It's still going to find a way to infect how you deal with people who don't look like you. Yes, racism looks like hate, but hate is just one manifestation. Privilege is another. Access is another. Ignorance is another. Apathy is another. And so on. So while I agree with people who say no one is born racist, it remains a powerful system that we're immediately born into. It's like being born into air. You take it in as soon as you breathe. It's not a cold that you can get over. There is no anti-racist certification class. It's a set of socioeconomic traps and cultural values that are fired up every time we interact with the world. It is a thing you have to keep scooping out of the boat of your life to keep from drowning in it. I know it's hard work, but it's the price you pay for owning everything. I thought that was really insightful, the nuances. And that's by Scott Woods is the guy's name. I'm not sure who it is, but I just thought it was very well put and helps to see the nuances of, you know, like air, you're born and it's there. And, you know, what's the silver lining in something like going on right now is a big light is being shined on this. It's like, you know, brighter light. And that's the thing that we have to be most conscious of, is that we are being the light and not adding more darkness. And I'll get to that in a minute. I'd also like to take a moment to read. This is from, I think Anna actually wrote this, Anna Wood, who is on episode 234, talking about anger, because I believe this is a really important point as well. Voices of anger are so important to hear. Anger tells us how to establish boundaries. We're creating new collective boundaries, new agreement, or new agreements around what's okay and what's not okay as a society. Anger says, enough, this cannot continue. Anger disrupts. Anger burns things to the ground that aren't working. Anger releases the power to change. As a woman, I have my own experience with voicing the type of anger that is born from the trauma of systemic oppression. I know the power of voicing it and the power of it being heard. It takes courage to speak it, a type of courage I would never, ever remotely understand had I not experienced it myself. And it takes courage to hear it, especially when it's directed at you. But there's a type of strength in being able to hold it, with compassion and care to understand the essence of the process, to show up in a way that contributes to healing for all, to be not harmed by it, but changed by it for the better, to empathize, understand, learn, repair, to stand strong and hold space for the anger of others is a key skill required for this time of transition. Otherwise, you cannot hear what's being said. Understand that asking someone to only express the trauma of oppression in the way that you prefer it is oppressive. It's a form of silencing. Voices need to be freed right now. And if you expect the voices of this type of trauma to be only neat and tidy, calm and sweet, you are inexperienced with this type of healing process. And that's why I'm writing this. Anger is not the same as violence. Especially in many spiritual circles, anger has been bypassed and shunned. Guess what happens to natural human phenomenon when they're shunned? They become shadows. Honoring anger is one of the key things we can do right now to liberate humanity. To any and all people right now who are hurting beyond comprehension, who are grieving, who are angry, I honor your voice. And I stand as a voice saying, you do not, in the midst of unimaginable waves of grief, need to perfect your expression into something pretty for my sake. If you're angry at me, I will listen to why. Thank you for your courage. That was really well said in regards to anger and, you know, and also the differentiation between anger and violence, right? And that's really, you know, once again, is violence wrong? I don't think there is such thing as right and wrong. There are consequences. There are feedback. And, you know, the thing with the question is always, what are the results that we want, right? If we want to, you know, teach that violence isn't the way, we're appalled by violence. I believe it's very important in that formula not to be violent, to act in a way that's violent, express your anger, process your anger. But returning, as you know, Martin Luther King said, returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. He also said, nonviolence is the answer to the crucial political and moral questions of our time. And this was like in 1964, I think you wrote this. The need for man to overcome oppression and violence without resorting to oppression and violence. Man must evolve for all human conflict, a method which rejects revenge, aggression, and retaliation. The foundation of such a method is love. And that's what it always comes back to, right? It's my favorite quote. Love is the answer now. What is the question? And that's really, you know, our job. Those of us tuning into this podcast that would resonate with this, the message, the frequency, this vibration, we're needed more than ever. Don't let the anger overtake you. Yes, process it. Yes, be with it. And then use that as the fuel to you know, be a lighthouse, to be a voice for change, to show, you know, like Mother Teresa, when they said, you know, they tried to get her to march against the war in Vietnam. She said, I'll never do that. But when you have a march for peace, I'll be there. And why was she saying that? She was saying that because she understood that where attention goes, energy flows. And what can we be for now? How can we find a way to shine a light on all the really good cops that are standing up out there that are, you know, helping people that want to, that are as appalled by what happened to George Floyd as each and every one of us listen, you know, how do we put our attention on what we want to see as much of as possible? I believe that is the formula in everything that we do. And where is the good? What is the ultimate that's going to come from this? Yes, there's going to be, you know, I mean, here in Los Angeles, we're on lockdown at 5 p.m. tonight, you know, and there's going to be a lot of things that happen out there on those streets. I'm not here to judge them and say they're bad or wrong. I'm just saying, what part can I play? What is the, for me, all my own, examination of how reality works, the best thing I can possibly do now is be a lighthouse. Focus on the good. Tell the story. Shine the light on what I want to see more of. And it doesn't mean to not honor what has happened and that is horrendous and to have empathy for that. And now where do we go from here? Fighting fire with fire is a very dangerous thing because, you know, an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind, right? So where attention goes, energy flows. Remember the relative truths and perspectives. All of you out there, we've been through it. Everyone, you know, and to different degrees, right? Everyone has with coronavirus and now this has happened and there's this collective pain that is wanting to be released from, you know, society. It wants to come up. It wants to be heard. It wants to be felt. It wants to scream out. It wants to be so it can ultimately be healed. And it can we can become more because of it. These relative truths, these perspectives that ultimately it's all happening for good. In the end, it's all happening for good. And if we can remember that, it's all going to lead to the next greatest and grandest version of ourselves. And I just saw what Terrence Floyd, George's brother said, he was talking about him. He said he'd want us to seek justice the way we are, everyone screaming out for justice, the way we're trying to, but channel it another way. And I think he's talking about the looting and, you know, the harm that's coming to small business owners and people that are getting hurt and whatever else. He said, he went on to say that he felt like there's an overshadowing going on. Obviously there's going to be people that just use this as an opportunity to do damage. And they're just, remember, anyone doing damage, though, they're doing damage because they're hurt. They're hurting too, right? And it's triggering their hurt. So it's not our job to judge them. You know, it's our job to be what Terrence said George was about. He said he was about peace. He was about unity. The thing's transpiring now, they may call it unity, but Terrence says it's destructive unity. It's not what George was about. That's not what George would have wanted. He said George would be out there right now motivating others to channel their anger to do something positive or make a change another way. And we get to carry George's legacy. That's the best thing we can do for him. That's the best way we can all serve his life wasn't meaningless, that it led to something really beautiful and good. And I think, honestly, from the highest perspective, that's exactly what he set up prior to coming here. He narrated his life journey. We all are the architect of our life's journey. And what a brilliant, beautiful, courageous soul to be willing to lay down his life, if indeed I'm correct. And we all choose what's happening prior to incarnating in the third dimension, before we're born in. What a beautiful soul to say, I'm willing to go in order to help to bring up this collective pain and to ultimately lead it to something positive, to make a change in this way. It's like so poetic and beautiful. And we get to carry that torch forward for him. And if you're a minority out there, if you're an African-American listening, especially your time to shine, your voice, I can't nearly carry the same weight with my voice that you can based off of experience. And that's the whole thing that, you know, anyone who's gone through or had a certain journey in this life, they're having that journey so that they can have the proper tools for the job. Right. And, you know, any minority, especially, it's your time to shine out there. And I have your back. And so many people I see more than ever are really, really supporting minorities and African Americans. And it makes me really, really proud to see. I grew up in Virginia where I saw a lot of this racism, you know, that's intrinsic in the system. You know, all my roots from North Carolina, like I've seen it. I've been there. I've been around it. It's just like it's dying. It's a deep, deep, deep wound, and it's coming up to be healed. And we all get to be lighthouses. We all get to shine. And especially those of you who have been on the receiving end of it, most of all, I just applaud you. I appreciate you. I support you. And just keep your head up. keep being the lighthouse, that the example that is needed. You can do it. You are doing it. And we're going to look back on this one day and be so, so grateful that we made it through this transitionary time. And it will make us, you know, who we're all meant to become as a society and culture in the future. Whew. All right, everyone. That's my piece on this for now. I hope it gives you strength. I hope it strikes a chord. I'm going to leave you with a song from the Afro-French-Cuban duo twins, Ibei. This song is beautiful, and this is a thing to remember, even, you know, with George having sacrificed in the way that he did. He's deathless. As the song says, we're all deathless. Whatever happens, whatever happened, we are deathless. We all go on. We all carry the lessons forward. We all grow. And that's, just remember, the point of all this, that you look around and see the destruction and see all the upheaval and you find yourself feeling fear. Remember, it's very, very messy for the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. The cells for the caterpillar basically melt down into a goo, and that all the pain the caterpillar created, destroying leaves, destroying everything it touched, now becomes the fuel for the butterfly, the imaginelle cells, to transform all of that into a butterfly. And just when the caterpillar thought his life was over, he became a butterfly. And that's the thing about death. Death is a birth and a transition. We're all on that journey together. Whatever happens, whatever happened, we are deathless. Be courageous. I love you all so, so much. And if you're feeling the call to come for a week retreat style Mystic Manor immersion, remember to go now and book your time to speak with me directly about stepping into the optimistic vortex at calendly.com/talkwithbrandon while there are still spots left. Otherwise, I look forward to co-creating magic with you at the Mystic Manor.
You might dig.